You've tuned in to Wednesday Night Bible Study at Central Baptist Church.
Good Wednesday evening, everyone. We want to thank you for joining us for our Central Baptist Church Wednesday evening Bible study. This evening, we're actually going to be looking at passages that will come out of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there to 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is such a timely Bible study this evening based on what we've been experiencing in the world. God knows exactly what timing is perfect, and He's got this this particular Bible study lined up for this evening, and I'm excited about it. But also, I hope that we'll learn something very special, very important from it. Even last week, as we gathered together, we talked about the fact that we're going to be talking this week about praying for all people, and the selected passage that we've chosen is 1 Timothy. In chapter 2, and it gives us some very critical information that we should go by, particularly given this day and age that we're living in right now, coming off of the election. So let's take a look at some things out of this passage. But before we get started, I do want to ask you, why do you think that it is important for us to pray? I think that's a fair question, because often when I talk to people, I found out that when things go bad with them, when they sit down and they talk with me, one of the first questions I'll generally ask them is, how's your prayer life going? You know, what's your devotional life like? And most of the time they'll be real honest with me and say, well, you know, it's weak. It's not doing very good right now. So why is it important for you and I to pray? And let me ask you this question. Do you believe that prayer changes things? I know that in my life and in my ministry, I have seen prayer change things that seem so impossible to man. I was just thinking about even one of the social media posts yesterday from one of our church members where a Sunday school class had been praying for a particular individual, and the great news that was received about the health of that particular person. And it was something that man can't do. It was something that doctors couldn't do. It was something that only God can do. And we want to make sure that when God does those things, that we give Him adequate and proper praise. But prayer is important. It is something that's not optional in the spiritual life of an individual. It is something that we need to do. It is communication with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's something that is important to each and every one of us. Now, in our text today, let's go ahead and look at it. We're reading out of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1, we're going to take verses 1 through 7. It says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who declares all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ, and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. Lord, we want to come to you tonight. We thank you so much for your word. Father, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts at this very moment. Father, we know that there's so much going on in people's hearts and lives, and as they watch this broadcast, there may even be distractions that are around those that are watching. But Lord, I pray that you'll give us these moments to be able to truly focus upon you, that you would be exalted, and Lord, that we would hear the message that you have for us individually today. Father, if we come seeking a blessing, we will find it. If we come truly listening for a word from you, we know that it will be there. So you want to speak to us today. Lord, help us in what we need to do as we walk with you, and Lord, as we live with others. And Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at these particular passages in our text, Paul is urging believers to pray for all people, not just some people. He says all people, but then he goes on and he begins to give us some examples of how and what we can pray for. And he says in this passage, notice once again in verse 1, he says, therefore I exhort I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's everybody. That's anybody that's around your sphere, anybody that you don't know, anybody that has something to do with you. But I want you to notice what he says in particular in verse 2. I think this is extremely important in this day and age, particularly where we are right now, just having come out of an election. Verse 2 says, and verse 1 spills into verse 2. It says, let's go to the latter part of verse 1. It says, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So he's talking about the fact that you and I are commanded to pray for those in authority. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that we're coming out of this election, and I've seen, it's hard to even begin to describe in a godly way what I have seen in regard to last week's election. There are some of you who are watching this broadcast who are very disappointed with the outcome this past week in our election. There are some of you who are watching that are joyous about what the outcome of the election is. There are some of you who say there's not an outcome yet. Whatever, wherever you fall on that particular spectrum, here's the thing that we need to understand. God is telling us that it is our responsibility to pray for those who are in places of authority. Now, I've had this discussion with folks before that have asked me, and they've sat down and they were disappointed in an election outcome, and I've told them, I said, we're required by the Word of God to pray for those who are in authority. That's our president. Those are people. That's your pastors. Those are people who have authority over you. Those are your bosses. And some of you are going, oh, I can't pray for that person. I can pray for anybody, but I can't pray for that person. Now, the Word of God tells us, no, we are required to pray. And notice what it says in that verse, especially those in places of authority. Folks, something that could change our life and change our world for the better is for us to pray for our president. And some of you are saying, we don't know who that is yet. Well, regardless of who it is, we're to pray for them. And can you imagine what God can do when America would come around and pray for God's will to be done through the life of that person that will be placed in authority? So think about those things for a few moments. We're not given an option on that. This could be a very, very volatile time. I know there's still some uncertainty about the results of that, but regardless, we are authorized by the Word of God, and Paul is telling us that we're to pray for those people. You are to pray for that boss that gets on your nerves, that maybe even doesn't treat you well. You're to pray for them. If you're in church, if you have a church home, the Lord tells us we're to pray for those who have authority. And he didn't say what type of authority, but there's a spiritual authority when it comes down to those in ministry. So as a church member, you place yourself under the spiritual authority of your pastor and those that are pastors on the staff. So are you praying for them? Are you diligently, not with a heart of malice, but turning it over to God, not asking God to come around to your way of thinking, not asking God to do it your way, but asking God that His will might be done. That's very important. If we go back and think about the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray, and we're going to get into this in just a few more verses, but He said this. He said, when He taught His disciples to pray, He taught them to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come." Did you get that? Thy kingdom come. That means the Lord's kingdom come. Thy will be done. The Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's got a plan. Now, folks, if you're tore up over this election, here's something that I want to remind you of. This didn't take God by surprise. There's no amount of anything that could make God's will not come true when God wants it to come true. So, when you think about it, the Bible tells us He has placed people in positions of authority over us. This is no accident, no matter how you view this. Whoever steps into the presidency is one of those who has been chosen or allowed by God to do so, and you and I are required to pray for them. So let's make sure that we keep ourselves right with the Lord in doing so as we think about these particular things. Okay. Now there's different kinds of prayer that Paul mentions when he's going through these particular passages. Four different types there in verse 1 that he said. Now, so you have to ask yourself, yeah, how might these words suggest different ways for us to pray? Look at verse 1 again. He says, I exhort you, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We should pray and worship God when we pray. That's what he's telling us. That's one of the things that he told us to do. We should be in an attitude of worship as we go to the Lord. It's not just about us carrying some grocery list of things that we want God to do. I've said many, many times that too many people view prayer with God as a magic lamp that has a genie in it. And if I want something, I just pick my magic lamp up and I rub it and out comes God and he's there at my beck and call. That's not what God has intended, and that's not what, you know, what he intends from us or what he thinks we should intend from him. So we should be in praise and worship of God when we pray. When we go to him, remember how he taught his disciples to pray. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. You know, we're giving him, you know, the credit. We're tipping the hat to him. We're letting him know that we understand he is powerful. We understand that he is mighty. We understand that God can make changes in even the most complicated situations that we may carry to him in prayer. They are no problem with him. He is holy and worthy of our praise. He is holy and worthy of our prayers. So when we think about our prayer, we should praise God and worship him as we go to him in a time of prayer. Another thing that Paul is mentioning in these particular passages, or that he's alluding to, is that we should confess our sins before him when we pray. Why is that something important? You know, the Lord tells us in his words that if we have that unconfessed sin in our hearts, then he won't hear our prayers. Yeah, how is it that we can pray when we're hiding something that we know that God already knows? I've said this many times, and often one of my prayer partners would say, are you confessed up? Are you ready to go to the Lord in a way that we're clean before him and in a way that our prayers may be heard? So not only should we praise and worship him, we should confess our sins before him as we go to him in prayer. And we should express words of thanks. That's another thing that he mentions in this passage, where he says that latter part of verse 1, and giving thanks. Yeah, how many times do we say thank you to God? How many times, even after we have gone to him in prayer and we've asked him, Lord, I've got a very complicated situation in my life. There's a very complicated situation in my work, or there's a health issue with somebody that I know or love. And Lord, I'm carrying this to you because man can't do anything about it. Only you can change it. And then you have seen God do something miraculous. You have seen God do something so incredible. Did you go back and thank him for that? You know, we read in the word of the lepers that were healed, and only one of them came back to say thank you. I don't know about you, but I know that in my life, if people are grateful for what I have done, it makes me a lot more apt to do other things for them. It makes me more apt to see how grateful that they are for something that had taken place. And it makes you feel good, doesn't it? I mean, when you do something for somebody and you know within their heart, they come back and say, listen, I want to thank you so much for what you did for me. I want to thank you for the word of kindness. I needed that today. I want to thank you for always being there when I needed somebody. I just want to thank you for being you. I want to thank you for correcting me where I was wrong in a spiritual way, as a spiritual brother or sister. Man, I tell you one thing, that goes so much further in the heart of the life of the person that when they go back and just say thank you. Do we do that? Think about God, all the wonderful things that he does for us on not even a daily basis, sometimes on a moment-by-moment basis. Have we ever gone back to the Lord in prayer just to be able to say, Lord, I don't want to ask you for anything today as I bow my head in prayer. You are holy. You are worthy of praise. But Lord, I just want to pause today to thank you. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my job. Thank you for food on the table. Thank you for shoes on my feet, for clothes on my back. Thank you for a place that I can go to worship your word. Lord, thank you for a place that I might grow in your grace around your word. Lord, thank you for the device that I'm watching this broadcast on today. Lord, I want to thank you for my children. I want to thank you for protection. The list goes on and on and on. I love that old hymn, and around here at Central Baptist, I've mentioned it many, many, many times. The old hymn that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Count your blessings today. Are you doing that? Are you going to the Lord with an attitude of thanksgiving? You know, we're heading into the Thanksgiving season, although I hate to use that term because each and every day we should be thankful. But for some reason, the month of November, at the end of November, that we call Thanksgiving is a time when we capitalize on that moment. There are times when we're more thankful than we've been before because we're confronted with it and we're faced with it. These are the times when we seem to show more thankfulness than we do at other times. And God wants us to be perpetually and continually thankful for all that He is doing. And we should express those words of thanks to Him in our prayers. And finally, what He tells us there is He talks about intercession. That means that we should pray for other people. You know, what a great, great thing we have as Christians as we come together to have that prayer list. That's not just something that we do because we don't have other things to do, but to take the time to say to Christian brothers and sisters, "I want you to pray for my husband or my wife or my child or my mom or my dad," or "I want you to pray for my neighbor who has this illness or this sickness. I want you to come together in agreement, lifting this person up before God, that God may do something incredible in their life, and not only in their life, but in ours, in watching what you're going to do." He tells us that we should pray for other people. And when we pray for other people, that is what's called intercession. Now, in addition to pray for all people, whom specifically, Paul said that we should pray for those, as we mentioned earlier, who were in leadership. He says, and he narrows this down. A lot of people would say, "Well, yeah, I don't know if that exactly means that." But look, as we come out of verse 1, going into verse 2. Coming out of verse 1, it says, "And giving thanks be made for all men, comma, for kings, comma, or for and for all who are in authority." Now, we mentioned that a moment ago. So the Bible specifically tells us that we are to pray for those who are in positions of authority over us, whether that's your boss, whether that's the president of the United States, whether that's your pastor, those who have authority over you. Are you praying for those people in your life? Now, some of us have different powers of authority over us. And I said before, God's timing is perfect for this particular message. We've been taking these chapter by chapter since we've begun this Wednesday night Bible study. And I didn't set this up for this to hit right after a very controversial election. But God knew what we needed. God knew the place. God knew the time. Once again, God has answered prayer. So for a lot of us, this may not be popular news today. I've heard people say, "Well, I can't pray for that person." Well, you better be careful, because you're saying, "I'm not going to do what God has told me that I need to do." Paul says that we should pray for those in authority. You know, why did he say that we should pray for those in high positions of authority? You know, should we pray for our leaders and our other authorities, even when we don't agree with them? And the answer to that question is emphatically yes. The reason why is because you have to understand that when God has placed people in authority, He has also given them that responsibility to lead those that are under them. And they need to do so in a way that is pleasing to God. They will be accountable to God for the way that they lead people. And those who are the followers will be held accountable for the way they followed those who are leading. Now, I want to put a caveat in there when I say that, because I'm not talking about something that is anti-biblical. You know, the Lord says, you know, as long as the leadership is leading in a biblical way, a way that is not illegal, a way that is not immoral, then we should follow them. Just because we don't like the way one of those authorities may be leading us doesn't mean that it gives us a right not to pray for them, not to follow their leadership, providing that they are not doing anything unbiblical. I have to put that in there. There is a time, the Lord even told us in His Word, there is a time when we should obey God rather than man. But as long as those in authority are leading in that biblical fashion, then we are not only required to follow what they say or do, you know, follow their leadership, but we're also required to pray for them. And so many people, you know, have that selfish concept, well, I just can't do that. You know what? Regardless of who you voted for president, eventually somebody's going to be named. I mean, there already has been, but I know that a lot of things are still up in the air. My responsibility is to pray for my president, whether or not I may agree with all of their policies or not. Ironically enough, there hasn't been a president since my time of voting that I have agreed with everything that they've done. I haven't agreed with every position, and yet I still am required under God to support that leadership as long as it's not something unbiblical, immoral, or illegal. So ask yourself that question. Yeah, are my people that I'm supposed to be praying for, the authorities over me, are they violating any of those particular rules or laws? Okay, so keep that in mind when we're told that we need to pray for those who are in authority. Now, I mentioned a moment ago about agreeing with or not agreeing with them. The Lord holds us accountable as followers to that authority. He holds the authority accountable for how they led. So the answer to that question, as long as it's not illegal, unbiblical, or immoral, yes, we are to follow them. Okay? Now, why do you think that prayer is pleasing in the sight of God to our Savior? How does it make you feel that God is pleased when you and I talk to Him? Notice what He goes down there in verse 3. He says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God loves it when we spend time with Him in prayer. It's like growing that relationship. You know, we've talked about the fact that spirituality is about a relationship. It's not about just checking off a bunch of check boxes. It is about getting to know God. It is about, you know, God knowing us. He wants to know us. He wants to spend time with us. Has there ever been that time in your life when there was somebody that you really wanted to get to know and you wanted to spend time with them? And when the time that you had to get together to fellowship, whether it was just over coffee or over a meal or just sitting on the porch or sitting around the fire pit and enjoying a good time together, man, it was just so great to get to know and to learn more about that person. And that's how you grow. That's how you grow in God's grace. You spend time with the Lord and Savior. And how do you do that? You do that by meeting Him in His Word, just like we're doing right now. You do that by meeting in prayer and gathering around and just crying out to Him. You know, prayer, you're not praying to some cosmic God that is so far off and you're hoping that the prayer reaches His ears. He is right here with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is, you know, you're spending time with Him. Get to know Him. Don't ignore Him. He's right there in the room with you. Spend that time saying, "Lord, I want to get to know You better. Not just so that You can do incredible things in my life, but just because I want to get to know You personally." That's what I mean so many times when I say God wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. And He is so pleased. It does His heart so good when we take those times, when we take those moments specifically to spend time with Him. Now, speaking of our God and Savior, you know, Paul says that God desires in verse 4 for all people to do this, to know Him. Knowing this, why is it important for us to pray for those who are lost? You know, what kind of things should we pray for people who are lost? Well, the first thing that we should pray and be diligent to do so is to pray that they would give their heart and their life to our Lord and Savior, that they would come to know Him in that personal way that's going to provide salvation for all of eternity, that's going to provide that place called heaven that the Lord has gone to prepare for us. That is the most paramount prayer. I know of some people within in my life, some people within our church that have prayed. They didn't give up. They prayed for years and some even decades that a loved one that they knew would come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. They never gave up. Through the thick, through the thin, every night and multiple times a day, they would hit their knees and say, "Lord, save my loved one. Lord, I'm asking You to put somebody in their way, put some conviction in their life, somebody that's going to tell them about You that they're going to hear. Lord, soften their heart." So many prayers that were prayed, And I've been able to see at times the joy and been able to be a part of when that person gave their life to Jesus Christ. What a victory that was. So we're to pray for lost people. Yeah, the Lord says in that verse 4, he said, who desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. All men, not just some men, everyone. Not that we say we're going to pick this particular group or set of people and pray for them, not just my family, all people. I use this expression around Central, and I'll, when it comes to the word all, I've said all means all, and that's all that all means. That includes everyone. That's every person living and breathing. That's why I disagree with the theology that says that, that some people are just born to go to hell. I don't believe that. I believe that that the Lord means what he says in his word when he says that he would that none should perish. And once again, in this particular verse, verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That doesn't exclude anybody. If you are living and breathing, God desires for you to come to the saving grace of his only begotten Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what he wants from you and I. Now, according to Paul in verses 5 and 6, notice what he says. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ, not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. So what does it mean that Jesus gave himself a ransom for all? Well, you know, you and I were born into sin because of the fall of mankind from the days of Adam and Eve. Now, a ransom is something that is paid to get something back or pay the price for something. You know, you can think about the movies where you've seen where somebody gets kidnapped and there's a ransom paid to get them back. The Word tells us that Jesus paid our ransom. In other words, he paid the sin debt on Calvary's cross that you and I might have an opportunity for salvation. He paid a debt for us that we could not pay in and of ourselves. We didn't have it. We didn't have the money to pay the ransom. We didn't have the righteousness to pay the ransom for salvation. Only Jesus, who lived some 33 years on this earth perfectly, could pay that ransom, not only for one, but for all. He paid the ransom for all. Notice what it says, verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom. Once again, there's that word all. For all. Not some. Not this group of people. Not just that group of people. For all. All who would come to him. And it says to be testified in due time. Christ, folks, is the only way to be reconciled with God. There are people today who will say, well, you know, Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. There are many, many ways. And yeah, I hear that particularly in this day and age, in this time where people are saying that there are many paths to God. Folks, that's not true. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is not simply a good way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only one who could pay the ransom price for you and I. You know, some other person could not. Some of your items or things that people worship, and you know, sometimes people would say, well, what do you mean things and items that people would worship? Folks, anything we put before God, we make a God, and we're worshiping that. You know, what are you making gods in your life? It's not necessarily that you've got a little statue over there, or it's not that you have some sort of a little shrine set up for something. It's not about that. It's anything that you place before God, you make a God. And you have to understand, there's only one way into the presence of God, and that is Christ Jesus. He is not a way, he is the way, the only way. So think about that. You know, when you hear today, when you hear people talking about all these different ways and means to get to God, all this spirituality, folks, there is no other way. Proven. You can test him at his word. There's only one way to get into the presence of God. There's only one way to get into heaven, and that is through the acceptance of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now, down in verse 7, you know, concerning the testimony of Christ, Paul is saying that he, being Paul, was appointed to do something. He says, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. You see, folks, it's important for all of us to share our testimony about Christ. Why do you think that that's important? You see, the thing about it is God has placed you in the middle of the people He's placed you in. I call it your sphere of influence. He has placed you in that workplace with the people that you work with. He has placed you in your church with the people that you serve with. He has placed you in your community and in your neighborhood with those people to live around you, that you might be a testimony to our Lord and Savior for those that are around you. Do you realize that you have the opportunity to reach people that I cannot reach? There will be people that will listen to you, listen to your testimony, that won't listen to what I have to say. And that's why it is so important. It is not simply the work of the pastor to be the evangelist, to reach people with Christ. God has called us all to share our testimony, to be witnesses for Him. And Paul is saying in verse 7, for which I was appointed a preacher. Now, he's a pulpit preacher just like me. God didn't call us all to preach from a pulpit or to deliver the word in the same fashion which I am, but He's called us all to be a witness for Him no matter where we are, no matter where we go, no matter what we do. And in his case, he was actually crossing some lines. Maybe you're not familiar with this, but Paul was the one who was preaching to the Gentiles. Paul actually caught some flack, you know, from the other disciples about preaching to the Gentiles. They're like, whoa, what are you doing preaching to those Gentiles, Paul? This is for the Jews. And Paul is saying, you know, God called me to preach to the Gentiles. Now, a lot of times people would sit back, or maybe you haven't been very long in your spiritual walk and don't understand that, but there's a scripture that says that salvation was first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And that was because Jesus said that He went to His own, being the Jews, and His own received Him not. So therefore, salvation opened up to the Gentiles. Now, that's another message for another day and another time. But the bottom line is simply this. You know, Paul actually caught some flack, even from his own brethren, about preaching salvation to the Gentiles. Now, people would sit back and say before, well, who are the Gentiles? Well, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So that makes me a Gentile, and probably you as well, a Gentile. Thank God that salvation was once for one and all, Jew and Gentile. And man, I'm so grateful, you know, for the fact that He has saved me by His grace. But Paul says we're supposed to be witnesses. We're supposed to share that testimony. So let me ask you this. Do you regularly share your testimony with those that are in your sphere of influence? Now, I don't mean that you have to sit there and have some big, you know, 4 points in a poem. But have you taken the time when somebody says, hey, man, you know, how did you get here in your life? I mean, even something as simple as saying, well, you know what? The Lord brought me here. He's been good to me. It's the Lord who's taking care of me. Can begin a spiritual conversation with those in your sphere of influence who respect your opinion. They'll look at it, and I promise you that God will use that. Folks, today, there's several things that we need to do. We need to pray, first of all, for those in authority. And I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you not only this week, but I hope and pray this challenge will last for all of eternity, that each and every day that you will pray for someone in authority. Right now, I'm particularly asking you to pray for our president. Now, I know in your heart and mind, you just said, we don't even know who that is yet. That's okay. God does know who that is. So you begin to pray right now for the president of this nation, the president of this country, that God would use him in a mighty way to bring about His will. Be sure to do that. Not just for him, but others in authority in your life. Listen, pray for us. Pray for your pastors. Pray for those bosses. Pray for those, even as the Word says, those who despise you. Pray for them. Take that challenge today. Pray for someone in authority each and every day, even multiple times a day. And then also, I want to encourage you to pray for someone who is lost. You know, the Southern Baptists throughout this past year have had a campaign called Who's Your One? I want to ask you today to identify one person in your life that doesn't know the Lord. Not that you're judging them, but you know that they don't know the Lord. They may have even told you they don't know the Lord. So I'm asking you right now to think about that person. The Holy Spirit's already put them on your heart, and I want to ask you to pray for them in such a way and in such a fashion that the Lord will bring opportunity for salvation in their life, maybe through you, maybe for somebody else. But will you take that challenge today? Not only today, but every day. Pray for those in authority and pray for somebody that is lost according to these scriptures that we read in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 2. So in a moment, I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. I do want to give you a couple of reminders really quick that particularly this week at church, we have been doing Operation Christmas Child. We did have an in-gathering. That's a fancy way of saying we collected the boxes this past Sunday. We will be collecting the boxes, another in-gathering this coming Sunday. So if you have your box prepared, bring it. There'll be a time when you can bring it to the altar and set it there, say a prayer for the child that will be receiving that. That is this coming Sunday in church. Also, if you would like to assist, because Central Baptist has been granted the privilege of being a regional drop-off center, that's going to be taking place November the 16th through the 23rd. There are various times. Most of those times are 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's your Monday through Saturday. Then on Sunday, there's a 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. slot. And then on Monday, when we're going to be getting the boxes over to the point where they will be transported, that Monday is 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. As far as a collection, and then there's also another to be determined time. If you would like to help with this, please contact the church office. You can do so at 336-643-7684. Tell Debbie that you'll need to get a hold of Miss Beverly Allred, who coordinates that for us, and we'll get you in touch with her so that she can get you on the list to help, and that way you can let her know what days that you'd be available as well. Also, let me go ahead and give you the scripture readings for this week heading into our next Wednesday evening Bible study. This week, we're going to be looking at the scriptures of 1 Timothy chapter 6 through 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6 through 2 Timothy chapter 4. And what we'll actually be doing is looking at authentic discipleship. Our text next Wednesday will be 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Authentic discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? I think that that word gets so confused in our society today as to when people say, you know, we're to go make disciples. I think there's confusion about what a disciple really is. We're going to clear that up for you next Wednesday evening. But we want to thank you for joining us. Remember the challenge. Pray for someone in authority. Pray for your president. And pray for that lost person that the Holy Spirit has put on your life, and watch God do incredible things along the way. Please join us next Wednesday for our Wednesday evening Bible study, when we'll talk about authentic discipleship out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And oh yeah, we hope to see you Sunday at Central Baptist Church, 1045, several venues in which you can spread out and social distance and be able to hear the Word of God and still be able to fellowship with fellow believers around you. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and I pray God gives you a great week. Father, as we come to you right now, we just ask that you would move in our heart in a special way concerning the word that you have given us from your passages in the book of 1 Timothy today. Lord, help us. Lord, even in times that we don't want to, help us, Lord, to pray for those in authority in our lives. And then, Lord, I pray that you will truly help us to identify a person in our life that doesn't know you, that we might begin not only praying for them, but witnessing to them through our word, through our deed, through anything that may be taking place in life. Lord, help us to be those testimonies and witnesses for you no matter where we go. Lord, reach out to those. I know you are, because you truly would that none should perish. Help us, Father, as we open your word, to truly listen to what you have for us. Lord, help us as we pray to do so in a way that is pleasing in your sight, as we remember others, as we remember those in authority, as we remember the lost, and Lord, as we even pray for ourselves and worship you along the way as we pray. Lord, give us a good week. Do something incredible in our lives that have your fingerprints all over it, that we might be able to come and praise you for what you've done. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.